This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity and the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zenta A-Stars. On Elisa Albert's website, you see a woman in a straitjacket with a pencil clamped tight in her bright red lips. That's how Albert writes, despite pressure to conform or live a lie. Albert is all about brutal honesty. In her newest novel, Afterbirth, a young woman learns how to cope with becoming a mother. It isn't pretty. But when reviewers peg her book as being about postpartum depression, Albert pushes back.
It's something that gets brought up again and again in all kind of reviews, and it doesn't exist in the book itself at all. But people tend to really want to use that as kind of like a way to understand this character. I push against that because I actually think that this is a character who's having a very sane reaction to a very insane culture.
How would you describe it? Give our listeners a synopsis of your book so that they pick it up.
I see it as a story about a woman who is trying to find her way. And it's not always easy. It's not always neat. It's not always clean or easy. In fact, it's often very messy, and you definitely get your hands dirty when you're living it with this character. But to sort of tell a story in which everything is not hunky-dory and there are no easy answers, it's a struggle to find our way in life, and it's a struggle not to repeat some of the destructive things that we've maybe been handed by our forebears, but it's worthwhile struggle. And I think of this book as kind of a portrait of that struggle for this one person.
You're right, because every time that we talk about babies, it's all butterflies and little birds flying around, and everything's so sweet and delightful. But it
right.
is, it's very difficult, and it's very taxing.
Well, and we infantilize mothers as well, I think, in so doing. And if you're a thinking person who happens to also be a biologically female person, it can drive you pretty nuts, I think. Mm-hmm. And to sort of push against that and to carve your own path and to find a way to make sense of, what your body's done, where you fit into this society, what this culture is asking of you versus what you know innately, intuitively to be right. It's hard work. It's messy, hard work. And I think we need like comrades in this struggle. And that's what happens in this book, is this character finds somebody, a friend who is able to throw her a kind of a lifeline.
So talk about that friendship between these two characters. Why is she so, and I'm thinking it's because she finds a character with brutal honesty.
Mm-hmm.
How does that friendship develop? What makes this kind of friendship between women very special?
Yeah, it's a unique one and a precious one, because there's no competitiveness and there's no lying and there's no phoniness and there's no, high pitched like, how are you? I'm great. How are you? Yeah, everything's great. Like,
yeah.
It's a friendship in which both women are free and able to be authentic and to be real and to not have their shit absolutely together all the time and to not be in competition with each other and to not let each other's choices threaten one another for whatever reason. They've sort of rediscovered the new normal, and they're also able to help each other raise their children, which is how most mammals raise their children. Humans are unique in trying to posit this idea that we should raise our young alone. That's not really how it works.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. I'm not sure if it's humans or our particular culture.
Right.
I know during some travels to other countries, they do tend to have a more it-takes-a-village
mm-hmm.
approach, whether it's
right.
aunts and grandmothers and but several people, which makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does. For everybody.
Yeah.
It really behooves us all if we can stick to that model.
I'm wondering, too, about when you read the book, there's a certain distance between mother and baby. In fact, at times, that baby almost seems invisible or like I said, at a distance, not named necessarily. The focus is definitely on the mother.
I think that another of the ideas in our culture that really harms everybody is the idea that babies can sort of fill space in our lives, like that a relationship with an infant is somehow going to like fill us, when in fact infants are not capable of upholding their part of the bargain in that equation. For a thinking person to be alone with a baby all day in, day out, is a recipe for that thinking person to feel like he or she is losing their mind. And again, I don't call that postpartum depression. I call that a very sensible reaction to a very unnatural state. Mm-hmm. Babies can't fulfill us in the way that this culture seems to want to pretend they can. That's not their job. They're mute lumps of animate flesh, you know, for a long time, and taking good care of them and loving them is one thing, but pretending that like they are somehow, you know, good company is a little bit insane. So I think for these women to have each other's company while they're taking care of their babies and loving their babies and doing the work inherent in raising young children is this revolutionary thing. Like, oh, I'm still a thinking person. Oh, I still matter. My thoughts and feelings are real. I haven't like subverted my entire humanity to this role, you know?
How do you think we, or did literature tell you that? How did we get to this point in our society that we expect women to go it alone so much? Like you said, in previous generations, usually grandparents, they might even be living in the same house. So have we done ourselves a disservice by putting our elderly elsewhere rather than having them?
That's a great point. That's a great point. I think there are parallels in the way we take care of our elders in this society, and the way we take care of our very young, the way that a lot is sort of outsourced, the way that like a lot of the very physical matters, like taking care of bodies, is outsourced, and we're sort of estranged from the physical process of both birth and dying. And what that does to our conception of these things, our ideas about them, and our fear of them, I think it's all tied together in really interesting ways.
I'm Zinta A. Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Art Beat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with Elisa Albert, the author of Afterbirth. Albert will read from the book as part of the Gwen Frostick Reading Series at Western Michigan University on Thursday, November 15. There's more information at WMUK.org, where you can hear more of our conversation. Join us every Friday at this time for Art Beat. Thanks for listening.